I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here 9 to 11 o'clock every weekday. This is where you will find something slightly different than you'll find on conservative radio if you've never joined the show before. These are the stories behind the stories, truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, the two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers out there. So thanks for joining me. Today, I've got a couple of kind of good behind the scenes stuff today. You know, what we are seeing, as I've said before, what we're living for, what we're living through, and what I'm happy to be behind this microphone for is the teachable moments of seeing how this government operates. For too long, people on the right, conservatives, have been led to believe that the three-letter agencies are your friends. They just want to keep you safe. And this is a teachable moment for everybody. Now, the people on the left should understand this too, but they will not because they feel like the three-letter agencies are helping them take down Trump. But they will be used against the liberals and the left again in the future. Don't worry, so they will regret their support for them now. But anyway, these are teachable moments, and we're going to go through several things that I think are being lost in the conversation when it comes to impeachment and all this stuff. Quote of the day today, I found this from Dr. Ron Paul, former Republican congressman from Texas, a real statesman. When I talk about the 2% of politicians, I can even stomach Dr. Ron Paul is in the top of that list. He says, speak up, speak often, and don't worry about those that at this point cannot understand as they can never unhear what we tell them. Ron Paul being one of those people that, I don't know, he was out there warning you about things like the Iraq War. He was warning you about things like the Patriot Act that allowed people, you know, the three-letter agencies to spy on people's phones conversations. He's warning you about the economic issues. He warned you about the things leading into the Great Recession and what, of course, He was cast aside as some kind of a crackpot, some kind of a weirdo, a man who could never have won the presidency. He was disregarded from the mainstream media. But now do you see how the media works? Now do you see? So the impeachment hearing yesterday had it all. Plenty of back and forth between the R's and the D's, and nothing came of it. As I kind of expected. Now, I did. The one thing that was interesting, I'm going to play a couple of clips because the IG report was released. Now, it takes me about 30 minutes to get to the studio from my home. I watched very excitedly. I jumped out of bed this morning to go and check out the mainstream media because I wanted to see the perp walks. I wanted to see the 6 a.m. FBI, the 6 a.m. FBI raid on James Clapper's house, on John Brennan's house, where they perp walk him out of there. They take 30 or 40 agents like they did to Roger Stone. I didn't see that report. Maybe they're just late getting it. So it takes me about 30 minutes to get to the studio. And when I got here, I still didn't see anything about any of the perp walks coming from the IG report. Now, I know. Oh, Mike. Now, see, I've been hearing for months the IG report. Just wait till the IG report is released. That's when the heads are going to roll. Well, now the IG report comes out, and I understand now it's the Durham report we have to wait on. That we all knew the IG report was going to be nothing. The only thing that I noticed yesterday and this morning, too, when it comes to impeachment, has anybody noticed, if you look at this Jerry Nadler character, he is turning into a South Park character. I mean, his flesh tone is not even real. It's like he is actually morphing into, if you've ever seen South Park and some kind of the characters that they give him, I don't know if they do a Jerry Nadler character on South Park yet. If they have in the past, the guy looks like a cartoon. He doesn't look three-dimensional if you look at him on the screen. white face, very flat looking, very kind of grayish. I don't know. I just found that kind of interesting. This was Donald Trump. So the hearing yesterday, I can play the Matt Gaetz stuff. Everybody's already heard it. Matt Gaetz is going to make his career off of the impeachment stuff. He's got some pretty good takedowns, I will say. But, you can hear that for 22 other hours a day. I was interested in this take from Donald Trump on the IG report and then a comment that he makes after this. And again, as I say, I'm going to look at it from a slightly different perspective than anybody else on conservative radio. So bear with me.
The IG report just came out, and I was just briefed on it, and it's a disgrace what's happened with respect to the things that were done to our country. It should never again happen to another president. It is incredible, far worse than I would have ever thought possible. And it's an embarrassment to our country. It's dishonest. It's everything that a lot of people thought it would be, except far worse.
And there you go. And the comment that Trump made that I thought was just kind of interesting, and I ask people to kind of consider this as we move about our lives as Americans. Quote, they fabricated evidence and they lied to the courts, Trump continued. Quote, this was an attempted overthrow, and a lot of people were in on it, and they got caught, unquote. Now, most people will agree with that, particularly most people listening to this radio station at this time are largely are conservative, mostly they're Trump supporters. Even if you're on the left, you should understand that this was an attempted coup by unelected bureaucrats. I know you don't like Donald Trump, so just let him be the guy you don't like for 4 years. A lot of people put up with Obama for 8 years. They didn't like him, but they didn't want to use the CIA and the FBI to overthrow the guy. Can you not have the same level of patience? You only got, 11 months? 11 months until the inauguration takes place in 2021? I guess a little bit longer than that. What is it, 13 months, 12 months, something like that? Anyway, here's the take I'll say on this. As Donald Trump said, this was an attempted overthrow, and a lot of people were in on it, and they got caught. I can't help but wonder what the people of Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya, Syria, Iran, and Venezuela think about this as they see it unfold. Because coups is what we specialize in as Americans. Hell, in Venezuela, we didn't even go through the normal coup route. We just announced a new president for that foreign country. Mike Pence seemed to love a coup in that particular case. But the idea that people on the right are seeing this coup and not liking it, I'm curious, do you understand now why other countries don't like it when you overthrow their governments? And I've given you just a brief list there. Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, Iran, and Venezuela, and in many of these things, Iran, we've already overthrown their government once. We're trying to go back for a do-over. We did it in 1953, Operation Ajax from the CIA, which led us down this path of the Iran that we see today. Iran was a very westernized democratic government until we went in there and overthrew their democratic government in 1953, installed a strongman, which resulted, as he abused his people, it resulted in the Islamic Revolution in Iran. I mean, we created the whole mess that's there right now. But do you see, as you watch, if you're a Trump supporter right now, and you get angry at what is obviously an attempted coup of a democratically elected president, elected by 63, 64 million people in the United States, and a bunch of bureaucrats think they know better? Does this change your mind at all when you see our national security state, our State Department fine representatives go up and say, we've decided that Maduro needs to go? Or do you have this ability to think that the three-letter agencies in the deep state should not sit in judgment of our government? We get to pick. I mean, we get to decide. It's a democratic process, Micah. They're trying to subvert the results of an election here. For some reason, that's the rule for us. No coups, no overthrows in the United States because we voted and this is what we said. Leave it alone. This is treason. At the same time, you're going to listen to the same deep staters, the same three-letter agency people, the same State Department people, CIA, FBI, that tell you that Maduro's no good, we picked a new guy. You'll support that coup. Iran must go. We're going to starve the Iranian people. We're going to put sanctions on them. We're going to blockade their country. We're going to cut them off from the world oil markets until their people start to starve and take to the street and overthrow their government. You think that's okay? And if Iran starts to chant death to America, you can't understand that? Do you see how people don't like it when somebody goes in and tries to overthrow their government, even if it's not a good one? Look, if Barack Obama, as much as I disliked Barack Obama, I wouldn't want to see the Chinese government come in and overthrow him. Kind of feels like that would have been our job as Americans. The only thing that might like make me like Barack Obama at some point is if he was under attack by a foreign country. I'd kind of feel the American urge to defend our president. An abhorrent idea to me normally, but, you know, patriotism and all. So maybe we rethink the idea of a coup now that we're experiencing one, right? Now that we're experiencing one, maybe we can start to understand what it feels like. Now, this IG report to me is simply more evidence of my claim that we are living in a banana republic. I mean, according to the official definition, I actually looked up the official definition. A banana republic is, you know, it's a country that primarily its entire economy is based on one export, originally referencing countries that were actually exporting bananas where it came from. But I just think it's – so technically it's really not the best descriptor technically, but I just think it's the most fun descriptor of the massive amounts of corruption that we're seeing right now in the U.S. government level. Because, see, the Inspector General is supposed to be the oversight group of the Justice Department and the government. This is that watchdog. You see this sign all the time. Americans are always, we always feel like we have these watchdogs, air quotes, here in the studio. Let me tell you, there are no watchdogs in the United States anymore. The FAA, the story was this morning, I'm not going to get into it today. The FAA completely ignored warnings on Boeing. Until two planes went down and killed everybody on board. And then they went, all right, we'll take a look at this 737 MAX. Because the FAA is about keeping commerce going, about lining the big corporations that are involved in these things. The FAA is not a watchdog. They're a essentially almost like a chamber of commerce function more. Now, they've got something. They've got good people with the FAA and that are interested in. But at the top of the FAA, and the top is what matters in these organizations, the FDA regularly approves drugs that harm and kill people. I mean, they just do. And I've got a story for a health segment coming up at some point showing the FDA has really ramped up the approval of new drugs. Now, that could be a good thing if they are good drugs, but the money involved in these new drug approvals and the money that the FDA gets from the pharmaceutical companies, don't fool yourself into thinking they're the watchdog, air quotes here in the studio. The SEC just allows Wall Street criminality to go on unabated. And people with the SEC end up working for J.P. Morgan, Bear Stearns. There's an incredible revolving door at the SEC, at the USDA. The IG is just another one of these things. Americans, we have a banana republic because there's nobody minding the store. There's nobody minding the store. And what's happening in the real world while this stuff is going on, because I believe this impeachment stuff is entirely political theater. Donald Trump will be impeached next week, I guess. That's when they're holding the vote. And it will mean absolutely nothing. It will probably actually help him politically. He'll certainly raise a lot of money off of it. The Democrats can't put a candidate together. They will not get him out through the Senate. This will end up just having been a big story that generated a lot of animosity in this country, and it will change absolutely nothing. It's why I don't cover it and it's why I barely care about it. It's political theater for the masses. Meanwhile, the U.S. government deficit rose by 12% in the first 2 months of 2020 fiscal year, hitting $342 billion. The deficit's rising again. In the first 2 months of the fiscal year, CBO estimated that spending increased $49 billion. They're increasing spending by $49 billion. Now, I know we throw these numbers around a lot, but I got to tell you, $49 billion, that's a lot of cash. And that's just the increase. That's just the increase from the same time last year. Now, what I want to always call attention to, because people don't quite wrap their minds around this, I had another teachable moment here. In the first 2 months of the fiscal year, CBO estimated that spending increased $49 billion to reach $813 billion, largely due to increases in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and anyone? The Defense Department. An increase in the cost of subsidizing education loans also contributed to the increase of outlays. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. This is the thing the Republicans have said we are going to have an adult conversation on at some point. If you just reelect them one more time, we're going to have an adult conversation on these entitlements. They've got to be reined in. And then the Defense Department. Endless spending in Defense Department. And as I said yesterday, whenever you get increases in defense spending, you get increases in social spending, because that's the way that Republicans and Democrats make a deal. The Democrats say, we'll give you more money for defense spending if you give us more money for social programs. And they both kumbaya, they shake hands, they hug, they take taxpayer money out of your pocket every 2 weeks. Once a month, whenever you get paid, they pluck your pockets, they take that money, they make sweetheart deals with each other, they jack up defense spending, they jack up social spending, they run up massive debts, they put them on the heads of our children, and the American people sit back and say...
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
There was actually another report released yesterday that was, much more important than the IG's report that came out. I mean, you know, I don't want to say I told you so. I've been hearing for months, this IG report. You don't understand, Mike. This IG report comes out, they're going to go down. And now this has come out. It was kind of floated. The expectations were tamped down for the past several weeks that IG report was going to be a bunch of nothing. But the Durham report, we're going to look at some of the people involved in the Durham report today. I'm just saying, man, I'm telling you, I'm not seeing any evidence that this thing is anybody's going to be held accountable. I believe somebody from the Durham report, though, may go to jail or at least be tried or fired or something. It's going to be somebody low level. This is not going to reach any higher. This is not going to get any of the big dogs. I know I'm ready to be wrong. I can't wait for the show where I can just sit here and open up the phone lines and have you call up and just make fun of how wrong I was. I will take it. You just have to understand that about me. I'm always ready to be wrong. It's just I have to see some evidence. I don't have the faith that everybody has. There's a much, much more important report that came out yesterday. I'm going to spend some time on it probably next hour. Again, it's another teachable moment thing there. It struck me yesterday, though, when I was reading about the IG report. So many people have gone onto Twitter. I mean, think about the amount of time and energy that has been spent since Donald Trump took office between the Russia hoax, the impeachment stuff, the IG report, it doesn't matter, every moving piece of this stuff. How many talking heads have got 470,000 Twitter followers and they tweet 10 times a day times the last 700 days, and you multiply that by the 100 people that are actually kind of narrating this whole thing on air, and the talk radio hosts and the politicians that are tweeting and the hearings. Think of all of the massive amount of time and all the time of all the people reading all the tweets and the Breitbart stories and the Daily Caller stories and the Huffington Post stories and the USA Today stories. I mean, it's got to be in the hundreds of billions, maybe trillions of hours, individual hours that have been spent on all this stuff for absolutely nothing. Political theater. Nothing has changed. Nothing is going to change. And there's not a lot of stuff that this is, as an observer, as somebody who's not on the red team or the blue team, somebody who's just on, you know, my team. I want to be left alone. I think this government's out of control and too big. And I realize neither one of the parties is ever going to address that. There is no political solution to the problems that we're in right now. You can keep searching for it. You can keep voting for the R's or the D's, thinking that if you just get enough, it's not ever going to happen. But whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, a Libertarian, a Green Party person, a Reform Party person, Constitution Party, there's one thing we can probably all agree on. Are any of you happy with the current state of what this government is all about? And if none of us are happy, I don't know, some polls show people, they'll find like 12% of people think we're on the right track. And I believe those 12% of the people are the people making money off of the system. You know what I mean? These are the people, while it's only really 0.01% of the people that are really exploiting it, there's still a lot of people who like being a part of the game. There's a lot of people in the Republican Party, the Democratic Party that, you know, they're not really getting anywhere. They're not. But they get to suck off the system a little bit. There's a lot of those kinds of people. So I guess they're the 12% of people. But it's got to be 80 to 90% of people are not happy with the way the government's operating right now. Whether it's because you think it's all Donald Trump's fault or if you think it's all the Democrats' fault, you're both wrong. It's the systemic corruption. It is the banana republic that our government has become over decades and Republican and Democratic administrations. But even though 80 to 90% of us agree that this is an absolute mess and would probably kind of, I don't know if you'd agree with me, we live in a banana republic, that may be too severe for some of you. You think it's disrespectful to the United States. We're the greatest country that's ever lived. Yeah, that's true. We have the greatest freedoms. We have the greatest system that's ever been created. The problem is we've handed it over to a bunch of psychopaths and mental midgets. We have to accept responsibility for that. You don't get to elect the political class we have right now and then continue to say we're still the greatest country on the face of the planet. No, we have the greatest ability to be the greatest country. We have the greatest structure. We still probably have most of the freedom. There may be other countries now that have surpassed us in freedom because we've willingly given away a lot of our freedoms. No, we've got the greatest concept. We've got the greatest blueprint for a nation ever given to any society by the founding fathers, who gave us something truly unique. Most people don't even really realize that because Western powers all seem kind of the same to a lot of people that don't pay attention. But we have handed this over to a political class that is just an abject failure, a criminal enterprise. Yeah, there's a bright spot every now and then here and there. You might like somebody here, somebody there. The problem is, it's the system. And I'm going to show that to you when we come back in just a second. But isn't it amazing that with 80 or 90% of us probably agreeing that this government is no good, we can't change it? 80 to 90% of the people upset with the current system, we can't change it. And why is that? Because half of you think it's all Obama and the Democrats' fault, and half of you think it's all Trump's fault. And as long as you keep in that those nice little camps right where they want you, and you're screaming at each other on Twitter, you're never gonna fix anything. Now I'm going to talk about the Durham report. We come back to a degree, but again, this is, who are we relying on now to, if you're on the right and you want to say, look, the IG's report was a whitewash. I've seen this word used quite often, and most people would agree with that. Nobody's going to be held to account. It basically says, the FBI seems to made some mistakes, but, overall, there was no political motivation there. It's insanity to those of us who can think for ourselves. But, you know, that's what they do. That's what the government does. They take abject absurdities and they give them to you as fact. And majority of the time we believe it. I mean, they can tell you that North Korea, this tiny little country that probably doesn't have the GDP of Kansas, is an existential threat to the United States. Americans will believe that, so why not tell them that there was no political motivation at the FBI? Americans are stupid. They'll take anything we tell them. And the media will recite anything we tell them. But I do not see anybody in any structural position that is going to bust apart this deep state that is going to change this system. Now, I know some people out there disagree with me. I'm going to talk a little bit about, let's listen to when we come back. We'll listen to Christopher Wray. Now, it's funny. There's one show on conservative talk radio that when Christopher Wray was named the head of the FBI, there was one guy out there going, why? This guy's no good. Everybody else was talking about how Trump's made another genius selection. Look at this Christopher Wray, fine, conservative, whatever you said about him. Great guy, looks tough. I came on the air as soon as his name was floated and said, this doesn't look so great to me. Here's what this guy's background is. And now we have his little take on the IG's report yesterday. He's incensed that you would dare think that the FBI was not pure as the driven snow. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's upped the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me.
All right,
so
who have we got in charge these days? Let's take a look at that. You know, this is the thing, you know, to you people on the left, Barack Obama was, you know, he was brown Jesus for a while there. And Eric Holder was essentially a thug. I mean, Eric Holder, attorney general. The left just couldn't see that because they loved Barack Obama, and he could do no wrong. I'm seeing the same thing on the right now. This was when I'm going to ask a question that I asked yesterday reframe a question that I asked yesterday that I think is very important for people to consider. Before I do that, I'll let you listen to this is Christopher Wray. Now, when Christopher Wray was announced as FBI director, I said, no good. That's no good. He's a revolving door guy. Why is Christopher Wray at the head of the FBI? Does anybody know that answer? Now, everybody cheered this pick except for me, because I immediately did my 5 seconds worth of research and saw that he'd spent 12 years at King & Spalding, which is a corporate defense law firm, before he becomes at the FBI. You know, the FBI is tasked a lot of times with investigating corporate malfeasance. Well, he's been on the defense side of this, or the advisory side of this. He's been a high-powered corporate attorney for 12 years. There wasn't anybody at the FBI that's done career FBI work. I'm not saying they would be good either, but I always find it interesting. We got to bring somebody in from King & Spalding, and it's these same King & Spalding, Kirkland & Ellis, these big D.C. One of these may be a Chicago firm, actually, but I think they've got D.C. offices. We always need to bring in somebody from these big firms to lead these agencies. There isn't somebody that's spent their time with the FBI that earned their stripes to become the FBI director. No, you got to go out and find somebody. And I'm going to ask a question. First, let's listen to Christopher Wray. He's just incensed that anybody would dare to suggest that the FBI's motives are not as pure as the driven snow.
As far as you know, based on the findings in the Inspector General report, is the FBI, was it part of some deep state?
Well, I think that's the kind of label that is a disservice to the 37,000 men and women who work at the FBI, who I think tackle their jobs with professionalism, with rigor.
Well, actually, we're not talking about them there, Christopher. We're talking about people like you. You people at the top of this thing. We're not so stupid that we think all 37,000 are corrupt individuals. It's just you people at the very top. So let's go ahead and get that straight. It's not a disservice to them. You're trying to deflect that we realize that the top of the Justice Department and the FBI and the CIA and the NSA is all massively corrupt. We're not thinking that everybody that works for them is. We think it's your little cabal.
With objectivity and with courage. So that's not a term I would ever use to describe our workforce, and I think it's an affront to them. Having said that, there are a number of things in this report that, in my view, fall well short of the standard of conduct and performance that we and that I expect of all our employees, and we're going to be taking a number of corrective steps to address that.
Oh, yeah, feel better now. They're gonna do an internal investigation and definitely institute some new procedures. Make sure nothing like this ever happens again. Does that make you feel better? Why do you think Christopher Wray? We're gonna look at these people because I am suspect that people like Christopher Wray and William Barr and John Durham, whatever his name is, are going to deliver this massive blow, and we're finally going to root out all of the corruption out of our government. There is this idea floating around that that's what we're on the cusp of. I thought the IG report was supposed to be the first step of that. Apparently it's not. Why would Christopher Wray leave a job making millions and millions of dollars every single year for 12 years? He wasn't terminated from King and Spalding. He left to take a position as the head of the FBI. Why do people leave? I mean, do you know people who have left jobs making millions of dollars a year to take a job making a couple of hundred thousand dollars? Does that normally happen in the real world? What about William Barr? I mean, these questions need to be asked. I talked about this yesterday in reference to our current Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. He refuses to name Saudi Arabia, the attack at the naval base, as terrorism. Now, when Obama wouldn't say the words radical Islam, we were all in a tizzy and everybody made a big deal about it on conservative radio. But now we've got a defense secretary who will not call what happened at the Pensacola Naval Base terrorism. And I know why not, because he used to be the head lobbyist at Raytheon and Saudi Arabia was one of his biggest customers. That's why he won't call it terrorism. He doesn't care about the deaths of people. I've said that before. Why did Mark Esper leave a job where I did my research, my 5 seconds of internet research? Some of the stuff is out there. If you'll look for it, he made around, the best I could figure, somewhere around $7.5 million a year ago, working for Raytheon as their chief lobbyist, about $1.52 million in salary and about $6 million in stock options. But he left this job where he made $7.5 million in a year to become our defense secretary. For what? What do they make? $180 a year? People do that all the time, Mike. Surely he's just a patriot. He just wants to contribute to his country. Are you kidding me? Why did Christopher Wray leave his job at King and Spalding for 12 years, making millions of dollars a year? These attorneys, these lobbyist attorneys, corporate attorneys at the highest level, go look. I mean, I do these things. Go look at King and Spalding's website or do an internet search for King and Spalding clients. It is the who's who among globalists. He was making millions of dollars a year. This is not King and Spalding for 12 years is not a $250,000 good, attorney income like it would be in Central Mississippi, just, grinding it out, but going home and seeing your family every day. No, these are the highest of the high corporate attorneys. William Barr was with Kirkland Ellis. Why would William Barr leave a job paying millions of dollars to go back to being a civil servant for the prestige? Now, he had already been attorney general once before. And where did William Barr begin his career? The CIA. It's his first stop. And he hitched his wagon pretty much to George H.W. Bush, who was CIA man through and through, and he became George H.W. Bush's attorney general back in 1991. And this is the bench we had to go back to. We had to go back to find an attorney general. We couldn't find anybody honest within the Justice Department that might just really go where the facts are. We had to go back to the attorney general from 1991, involved in Iran-Contra, started his career with the CIA, has been working for one of these big Tony corporate law firms, Kirkland & Ellis. This is the guy we had to bring back in, and he's supposed to be the one that upsets the apple cart and changes the entire system. I got to tell you, William Barr feels like a fixer to me, not a reformer. This is the William Barr that couldn't be bothered to keep Jeffrey Epstein alive. But he's definitely coming after the deep state, Mike. He's definitely going to hold them accountable. This is the guy that came out, what was this, last week? And said, look, I've seen the footage from Jeffrey Epstein's cell. Most of us went, excuse me? I thought there wasn't any footage. Well, apparently there is. William Barr said he's seen it. Nothing to see here. It's a crazy bunch of coincidences. Just like the IG report just came out. Essentially, William Barr did an IG report version of the Jeffrey Epstein death. He said, oh, crazy enough. Yeah, there was nothing, you know, just a series of coincidental mistakes led to the death of Jeffrey Epstein. No, but nothing else to look for there. Move along. Nothing more to see here. This is the guy that's going to. I'm not trying to really sit here and just destroy people's hope, but I am trying to wake people up. Somebody asked a comment last night on a comment thread or whatever. He said, people were looking at this IG report and obviously frustrated with another whitewash, another round of criminality swept under the rug. And somebody said, I don't know why this war against this deep state hadn't already gone hot. And I kind of broke my own rule, which is to not ever engage in comment stuff, but I didn't say anything. You know what I said to him? And I'll stand by this, and people aren't going to like this, I know. I said, well, that's because people believe that Donald Trump is going to reform it all, so we don't have to do anything else. We can sit back. As long as we go vote for the right people every 2, 4, 6 years, we don't have to do anything else. And they believe that Donald Trump's going to do it. He's not. He's not. I don't believe there's any plan. Now, maybe there may be some criminality so egregious that somebody ends up in jail and we can all hope. But as far as a systemic change to the way this corrupt government, this banana republic works, I don't see it. I don't see it with Christopher Wray at the FBI coming from King and Spalding. I don't see it with the CIA guy, William Barr, at the Justice Department. Now, I don't know much about Durham guy. Now we wait on the Durham report. That's all. We just got to sit back and wait, Mike. It's coming. I don't believe there's any plan. And the IG's report is just the latest slap in the face to the American people. The latest Epstein cover-up. It's just the latest cover-up. Nothing is going to change until we decide to change it. Nothing's going to change until we decide to quit screaming at each other on Twitter and actually hold these people accountable. We should be on the phone with our elected representatives. I don't know what the solution is. I know the first thing you have to do is break the conditioning that we're all in, which is this R versus D. Everything that's going wrong is all Obama holdovers. It's all Obama's fault. Christopher Wray and William Barr are Republicans, but they're swamp creatures. John Bolton, Republican swamp creature. Mike Pompeo, Republican swamp creature, warmonger, Secretary of State. I'm not trying to insult Donald Trump. I don't know. Maybe this is just the people he was given. Who gave him these picks? Who is in the administration that keeps giving Donald Trump Mark Espers, the former Raytheon top lobbyist, is our defense chief, to replace the former Boeing executive as defense chief? We've got a former Eli Lilly top guy at Health and Human Services. We had the guy who gave Jeffrey Epstein a tap on the wrist was our labor secretary. Who's giving Donald Trump these picks? But you have to ask yourself, with all of these people that I'm listing off, why do they leave these very, very lucrative jobs making millions of dollars a year to go somewhere, be a civil servant, make a couple hundred thousand dollars? Do you really believe in your core that they are just such tremendous patriots that they feel the need to serve like your congressman, right, who praise themselves and pat themselves on the back for their commitment to public service? Are we still believing this stuff? I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
Yeah, as I said, there was a report that was released yesterday, really a lot more illuminating than the IG's report. Look, what do you need a report to tell you that there's corruption in the top levels of our government? And it's been there throughout administration after administration after administration. It's not just Obama holdovers. Obama was a special kind of bad, but I got to tell you, they've been around for decades. Look, I am of the belief, you can call me whatever you want to call me, I'm of the belief that the second that they were able to murder a sitting president in broad daylight in 1963, to people that are entrenched in the deep state or whatever you want to call it, they just went, oh my God, we can get away with anything we want to. We'll do whatever we want to and then put together some little dog and pony investigation show that we totally control, exonerate ourselves, and we're off to the races. And they've been doing it over and over and over since. IG report was just the latest in a string of those things. I don't know why people keep expecting. It's so funny to me. This is so obvious on its face to me. But everybody's got this idea, well, this time it's different. You know, that's like it's like the stock market, man. Back in 2000, stocks were reaching these nosebleed levels, companies that had never, ever made a profit. And there were sane people out there going, why is Pets.com's never made a nickel? Why is it trading at $200 a share? And everyone wanted to believe in the stock market juggernaut that was making a bunch of money said, you don't understand. The rules of profitability don't apply anymore. This time it's different. And the sane people were just going, well, it's happening, I know, but I got to tell you, this is not going to end well. And what happened? Turns out profits did matter. Turns out it wasn't different that time. We keep thinking it's different this time.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAD. I appreciate you joining me. There was a report that was released yesterday that's, I think, really a lot more important than the IG report. I kind of saw the IG report coming. Expectations had been tamped down over the last couple of weeks, so there's a lot of people out there that will say, well, yeah, Mike, we knew the IG report wasn't going to say much. It's that Durham report that we're waiting on. Well, I got to tell you, I never had any faith in the IG report back when it was being hyped as this big thing. I don't have very much hope in the Durham report. I believe the Durham report is going to be a little bit tougher to appease the people who want it to be tougher. And so maybe a couple of small players end up getting in trouble, fired. Maybe somebody goes to jail. Some little player. Nobody of any importance. Maybe. That's my guess. And again, I'm always sitting here ready to be wrong. Always ready. And I kind of want to flesh that out. And when I finished last hour with people, I'm sure it's not just Americans. People always want to believe that it's different this time. In the 2000s, when everybody was making a ton of money on tech stocks, sane people were watching the rise in these stocks with no profits, no prospect for profitability, just the hype of the internet, leveraging themselves and borrowing a bunch of money, and investors borrowing money on margin and investing it to try to get rich off tech stocks. And they said, this is insane. This can't keep up. And the people that were cheerleading this run up in stocks said, you don't understand. It's different this time. The internet means it's different this time. And the same people went, all right, I got to tell you, I don't think this is going to end well. And boom, it turns out it wasn't different this time. Then we saw the speculation in housing in the early 2000s. Housings are going up 20, 30, 40, 50%, 100% in a year. People buying houses and flipping them in 6 months and doubling their money. It's just going crazy. Everybody's going. And people said, you can't sustain this. This is insane. You've got people out there that don't have jobs buying homes, that these liar's loans and all that stuff. And the real estate people said, you don't understand. It's different this time. Turns out it wasn't different this time. And we elect politicians the same way. How many Democrats thought, oh, the election of Barack Obama, this is a man of the people. He's a community organizer, man. He's really going to take care of the downtrodden. It's going to be different this time. He's not like a bunch of this establishment Democrats. He's one of us. And what happened to wealth inequality during the Barack Obama term? Because while he taught you, he convinced you that maybe it was different this time as far as Barack Obama goes, the system in place was the same. Same Federal Reserve printing off the same amounts of endless amount of money for the rich people at the top. The big corporate interest, Barack Obama received more money than Mitt Romney or John McCain from the big banks when he was campaigning. It wasn't different. And I've got to tell you, I don't think it's different this time with Donald Trump, because all of the systems are still in place. It just doesn't feel, it just looks the same to me. Well, again, I'm sitting here ready to be wrong, but the signs are not good, particularly when I'm talking about William Barr coming from Kirkland and Ellis. Attorney General. He used to be with the CIA. That does not tell me that this is different this time. When I see FBI director coming from, what was the other firm? Was Kirkland Ellis coming from King and Spalding. 12 years corporate career, making millions of dollars. Now he's in front of the FBI. I didn't think that was different. Turns out now he says, oh, there's no deep state. It wasn't different. Bob Barr covering up the Jeffrey Epstein death. It's not different this time. We'll see. We'll see. I think I call her online. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you?
Oh, good, Steve. How are you?
better than I deserve.
Well, good, you know, good.
Earlier you were talking about all these billions of dollars, and I just kind of wanted to put that into perspective for people. If you had $1 billion at the time of Christ's birth, and you spent $1,000 a day, you would still have 770 years before you ran out of money.
It's astounding, isn't it? Absolutely astounding. Yeah, a trillion is, if you counted it out in seconds, a trillion would take you 32,000 years to count.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stunning stuff.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Truly is.
But I guess if you can print money out of thin air,
you can
come up with those kind of numbers.
Yeah, how long would it take you to type out, $560 billion on a computer and hit send? I mean, that's really the amount of work it takes to inject money into the system now and create new money.
That's right. That's right. All right, brother, you have a good day. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. Always need that perspective. Bye-bye. And that context. The money, we say these things, billions, trillions, millions, so often. We don't really say millions anymore. It's funny now. You know, I bring up this all the time. The average taxpayer pays $9,000 in income taxes per year. So over the course of your lifetime, what you pay for, you pay in for, say, you know, 50 years. So what is that, $450,000 over the course of your lifetime in federal income taxes? And they waste that probably on candy corns for Christmas in the federal government. I mean, it's just all that money you sacrifice and send up to Washington, D.C. It's like it's in the couch cushions at the Pentagon. It matters nothing. And when we hear of these, you know, I'm guilty of it too. I'll look at the stories of abuse by the government and spending, and I'll see a story that shows that they misspent, like, you know, $128 million. And I think, oh, that's nothing. Should I even cover that story? That's a lot of money. Millions are still a lot of money, particularly when you're talking about how many Americans' pockets they've got to pick to take that money and flush it down the toilet in one way or another. So it's always worth the context. Now, when I come back, I'm going to take a quick break because I'm going to spend some time on this. There was a report released yesterday that was more important than the IG report. Gasp. What did he say? It's all about the impeachment. Don't you know the existential threat, the battle we're locked in, Mike? Look, I understand the political theater is sexy and all the headlines are driven by it, but this other report yesterday lines up with what the Mike Madison Show is about. And it shows you the bipartisan dirty dealings that I rail against every day. So we'll get to that when we come back. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. Let me tell you one reason that I won't say libertarians aren't engaged in the impeachment stuff. It's just like we kind of see through it. It's a little more aggravating to libertarians than regular people because libertarians have been warning you about things like this for years and years. And when it finally happens, you're kind of like, I don't know what to tell you. We've been screaming about this for a while. Now, long before I became a libertarian, I used to be a Kool-Aid-drinking Republican, and I would have dismissed what they said. But once I started to listen to them and realized that they were making some sense on certain issues, see, libertarians warned people about the deep state and the three-letter agencies getting tremendous power for decades, and they were ignored largely by people on the right who thought that they believed this idea that the three-letter agencies are all about our security, and it's what makes America this great, powerful nation, and blah, 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 blah. And libertarians said, all right, you know, whatever, knock yourselves out. This is not going to turn out well. And so when you see this FBI, DOJ, NSA, CIA corruption, to a libertarian, we're like, well, I mean, we've been trying to tell you. I don't, you know. And then we look at this stuff with Ukraine. Look, I think Donald Trump did want something before he gave over the aid. But the problem is that's a problem of giving out the aid. I don't think Donald Trump did anything really wrong. He did what is traditionally American foreign policy, which is hand out taxpayer cash, take credit for it, and get stuff for it. To every country, I did a whole show on this. I named every country that gets them. Countries I'd never heard of before get billions of dollars of U.S. aid. Libertarians have been saying, don't meddle in other countries' stuff. And everybody's ignored us. Well, now Trump's got ensnared in both the deep state and in foreign meddling stuff. Obama administration got us knee-deep in Ukraine, but Republicans get us involved in this stuff, too. Libertarians have been warning people about these kinds of things for a long time, people who truly believe in a small, limited government. See, most of the people on the right, and God knows people on the left are lost. I mean, we forget about them. They love a big government because they are incapable of putting their pants on by themselves in the morning. But Republicans pretend to not like a big government, but then every big government program that comes up and starts saying things about national security or, you know, military, they love the expansion. They love the big black new building out in Utah for the NSA because they think it keeps them safe. You know, libertarians have been going, no, this is not a good idea. It's not a good idea to have Stellar Wind and all these programs that can spy on the American people. And most of the people on the right said, yeah, but they'd never use it against us. They're just there to protect us from the bad guys. Turns out that's not true, is it? So there's so many of these things libertarians have been telling you for the longest time to be wary of. Look, I'm telling you right now, there's this revolving door between big industries and the highest levels of government. You will never be the priority of this government. Never, ever, ever, never in its current form will you ever even rank as a consideration, really, on the decisions of this government. The revolving door makes sure that the giant money interests are served, not you. Quit acting like this is your government. And term limits will make you feel all warm and fuzzy, but it'll change absolutely nothing if you allow the two major parties to just keep giving you the candidates they want to give you. We've seen that in Mississippi. How many more establishment people do we need to come down the conveyors? I mean, that's all they do. They just keep giving us Wicker, Hyde Smith, Greg Harper. Is there any difference? Thad Cochran. Is there a difference between these people? You can term limit them all you want. It'll get you all real happy. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get term limits. But you can keep talking about it. But the problem is, it doesn't matter. They've got another cutout. We term limit the president. How's that working out for us? Have you seen any big changes at the presidential level over the past 50 years? Of course not. The drug war will never be won, using air quotes here in the studio. It's never going to be won as long as it's just fought. More people will actually be hurt by the drug war itself than would be hurt by the drugs themselves. Keeping 1,000 military bases worldwide will bankrupt this country. These are all warnings I'm just going to give you so that when they happen, I'll just go, well, you know, look, you can do all your dog and pony shows about investigations. We told you this was going to happen. And our continued obedience and allegiance to other countries to fight their wars in the Middle East will get our soldiers killed. And a war with Iran is going to have disastrous outcomes. So you've been told. You can pretend that the Iran war is good because it's your guys' war. But this is the big report that came out yesterday, and I'm going to let this. This is actually from The Hill. They've got I think this girl's name is Crystal Ball. They just did a really good segment on this. There's a new report out that shows that for decades now, the Bush and the Obama administration lied to us about what's going on in Afghanistan. And you know, as a libertarian, I've been saying this for 2 years to you. To a libertarian, this is not surprising. But if you're ever going to change your mind in these endless wars, you need to hear things like this. And this is just I'm going to stop this segment several times and really point out some things. Because there's staggering stuff in here. You know, I made the comment yesterday, and I don't know if it would be considered controversial. I was talking particularly about Mark Esper when he wouldn't say that the Saudi shooting at the Naval Air Base in Pensacola was terrorism. I said the words, he doesn't care about these troops who get killed. Now, that may seem hardcore. I mean, I don't know the man. Maybe I'm wrong. But the machine at the very top that makes decisions to send our troops into harm's way don't care about the body counts. There's other motives for these wars. It's not about American freedom. It's not about protecting your rights. It's about all kinds of other things that they don't want to tell us about, things like profit and pipelines, power, alliances, allegiances, backdoor deals. It's not about protecting the United States. That's demonstrably wrong. These people don't care about you. And this is the thing that needs to happen. And so this report is important. It's more important than the IG report and just in the totality of it, how it should affect Americans. Because, look, this lying is not over. They're going to lie us into a war with Iran if we don't stop them, if we don't put them on notice that, Iran's not a good player, but by God, we're not sending our kids over there to fight and die in the sand halfway around the world in another war. We have to make that perfectly clear. And right now, I don't think people will.
Craig Whitlock over at the Washington Post has a bombshell report on the utter failure and lie.
Now, before you get all Washington Post, Mike, that's WAPO, full of lies. Look, this is just sourced stuff from actual interviews with the people that were involved in Afghanistan, the commanders of Afghanistan. This is not an opinion hit piece on Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, I think this thing really kind of points out the fact that Trump kind of stopped some of this stuff, some of these lies told to the American people. So don't discount this. I know I'm always suspicious when I hear anything from the Washington Post, just like you are. But this is actually just excerpts from the people in charge of Afghanistan. And listen to the revelations and then think about what you've been told by the Bush, that fine Christian conservative, George W. Bush. That great American, that patriot, and then the Obama, that Nobel Peace Prize winning peacetime President Barack Obama, equally culpable in this.
Of multiple administrations with regard to our military action and war in Afghanistan. It really is worth taking the time to read this entire report because it is stunning the way that three different administrations have lied to us. So listen, basically, they FOIA'd a report that the government had put together assessing what had happened in Afghanistan. 2,000 pages of interviews and notes. Transcripts of interviews and notes with the key people on the ground, the key leadership, and at every turn, they talked about how this was a failure, how they were goosing the metrics to try to convince the American public that things were going well, when in fact we continue to backslide, continue to backslide, continue to backslide, and that while we went in with this limited mission, right, find bin Laden and punish the Taliban for coddling him, root al-Qaeda out, this limited mission.
Right.
The mission kept changing. Some people wanted regime
democracy,
change. Someone wanted to foster democracy. Someone wanted to rebuild Afghanistan into a developed, rich world nation. All of it is an utter catastrophe that continues to cost lives, treasure, et cetera.
Over $1 trillion spent in Afghanistan by some accounts. I want to read some choice quotes here, which is one was, it was common at military headquarters in Kabul and at the White House to distort statistics to make it appear the United States was winning the war when that was not the case.
Unbelievable.
And they also discuss how the Obama administration, a person identified as a national security official, said there was constant pressure from the Obama White House and the Pentagon to produce figures to show a troop surge of 2009 was working, despite hard evidence to the contrary.
Now, I want to just point out, did you hear the Obama administration and they said somebody else now? It wasn't just the Obama administration. For those people out there who believe that Obama is the cause of all of our problems, the Obama administration and anyone, the Pentagon. Now, this is the Pentagon that the right has been convinced is patriotic to send them another $150 billion a year. They've lost and misplaced somewhere between $8.5 and $21 trillion they can't account for, taxpayer dollars. And our decision is, and our response to that is, send them more money. Let's get them more money. It's the Pentagon. It's our troops. It's apple pie. It's salutes and flags and all that good stuff. The Pentagon's been lying to you about this war. Now, where do all these people from the Pentagon go when they leave the Pentagon? Huh. Where would they go for a career after the Pentagon? Let's see. It feels like somebody's done radio shows about this, the revolving door between the defense contractors and the Pentagon. Oh, yeah, that was me. Every single one of these former military people that appear on the major news networks, Fox is one of the worst with, what's his name, Colonel Jack Keane. I bet you think he's a true patriot, a great American, right? Because he supports Donald Trump, so he must be great. Well, he sits on the board of about five different defense contractors, and he tells you that the Iran war, it's time for it to happen. It's time to counter Iran's influence. Do you really believe that this guy's just doing it because he believes that's what's in the national security interest, or do you believe it may be that he's interested in what the profitability of the five different defense contractors he sits on the board of? It may only be four. And he may not be on the board. He may be a partner in one instead of on the board. So don't hold me to the exact stuff on that. But he's involved in a lot of defense contractors that make money off of these wars. And then he goes on Fox News and he tells you about all of the tremendous threats that you should be scared of so that you give this Pentagon, that will then lie to you, make sure that you give them more money so that that money can go to the Pentagon and from the Pentagon to the firms that he represents. Although Fox News never discloses the fact that he sits, that he has commercial interest with all these. And it's the same on MSNBC, Barry McCaffrey. It's the same on ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS. Every time they trot out somebody as a military analyst, former general such and such, they've all got these ties. Is it enough yet? I know some people may be listening to the show for the first time. You know, you can kind of make this assumption when you talk radio. It's like, well, if I make this case over and over again, some people who probably resisted it at first may come around to understanding what a con job these endless military budgets are. But I understand not everybody listens to every single one of my shows. I can't understand why, but I'm sure that that happens. There are a lot of people that have tuned in and said, what, WYAB, they got a liberal on there talking against military spending? No, sir. No. No, I'm a strong national defense guy. Equally strong anti-war, wars of choice guy, foreign entanglements guy. Kind of like George Washington was. You remember that peacenik? You remember that hippie peacenik George Washington that said, don't go looking for wars, foreign entanglements with no country? You remember that radical leftist Thomas Jefferson who said, peace and commerce with all nations, entangling alliances with none? I'm kind of cut from that cloth, and particularly I didn't used to be, but I saw the insanity of what we're doing. I'm going to play the rest of this clip. The Pentagon, the media, the Bush administration, the Obama administration, the talking heads on the networks have all been lying to you about Afghanistan while our kids died and while we tacked $1 trillion of new debt on to generations that have not even been born yet, much less voted for this stuff. And they've been lying to you, knowingly lying. Look, we need to start making a distinction between mistakes, you know, bureaucracies, and the government's not real efficient, and it's a big thing, and they mean well, but forget all that. They flat out lied to you. They lied to get us into these wars. And they lied about the wars while they're going. Do not mistake this. This was not a mistake. It's not a miscalculation. They didn't misspeak. It wasn't misinterpreted. No, it was lies given to the American people, wartime propaganda to keep the floodgates of taxpayer dollars and soldier bodies flowing. Libertarians have been telling you that this has been going on for decades. But people on the right have been so excited about national security. It does make you feel tough, I got to say. I watched some of the bombings of Gulf War I and thought, it just gave me a surge of pride. I was like, God, that's my country over there kicking butt. Even though I did nothing to help with it. I wasn't there. I didn't serve. I had no, but it's still, I got this swell of patriotic pride. It's just, then I've discovered how insane it was, and a level of humanity that said, oh, you know, every time they show those night vision things, there may be a little baby being blown to smithereens on the other end of that thing. I probably shouldn't be really celebrating that. Probably not good for my soul. But people on the right, we've got to break this conditioning, and I think it's starting to work. You know, the right seems to be more anti-war and more wanting to rein in some of this stuff than the left. Donald Trump got elected saying he's going to end these wars. Problem is, he's not. It's kind of like how I started this segment. Yeah, it's different this time, Mike. This guy's really going to end the wars. But he's not. How many years do we sit around and wait? He's going to deliver on that day, any day now. Well, we're going to finish this report because it is so important. It just smacks you in the face how badly the American people have been lied to about these wars. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
We all suffer from hope, don't we? We're all hoping. You know, I'm here telling you that I just don't think they're going to do. I don't see any structural change. I don't. The IG's report was a big bunch of nothing. I believe the Durham report is going to yield almost next to nothing. But I've got hopes, too. I feel like, you know, maybe if people hear this report on Afghanistan, that they've just been lying to us straight to our face. And I'm not talking about making a mistake. They didn't make a mistake or a miscalculation in Afghanistan. They've been knowingly lying to the American people because they've been trying to keep you on board with this 18-year war. And it's been fairly effective. We're getting a little weary of it now. But now, it's Trump's war. So a lot of people says, well, as long as if Trump thinks we should stay there, then we should stay there. Bottom line is the Pentagon's been lying to you about this for dang near two decades now. And so while some people still have hope that Trump's going to be the white knight, that we've elected the guy that's going to break apart all the corruption in Washington, D.C. and take down the elites, I suffer equally from this hope that maybe if the American people realize, if they're slapped in the face with the fact that war propaganda with the media and the Pentagon and both parties, the Republican and the Democrat, maybe people will wake up and start opposing these endless wars that are going to bankrupt our country and kill our soldiers. So I suffer from hope, too. Here it is. Here's more of that report.
Even when casualty counts and other figures looked bad, quote, the White House and Pentagon would spin them to the point of absurdity, saying that suicide bombings showed that the Taliban was on the run, that the fact that more U.S. troops were dying showed that we were putting pressure on the enemy as opposed to before. Two administrations, this basically cuts off around 2018, two administrations, the same lies, the same, you know, sliding toward where we are right now over what, 18 years, in 17 years in Afghanistan since 9/11 occurred, and nothing has changed. And it's you have the generals. These are people I covered. I started out covering the Afghan war who are speaking on the record to this inspector general.
Right.
They never thought their comments would come out.
In the Washington Post.
The generals who lead this are saying, yeah, we had no plan. We had no idea what we were doing.
Listen to this quote from Douglas Luth, a three-star Army general who served as the White House's Afghan war czar during both the Bush and Obama administrations. He said, what are we trying to do here? We didn't have the foggiest notion of what we were undertaking. We were devoid of a fundamental understanding of Afghanistan. We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah. Now, let me just tell you there, they're trying to sell you an Iran war now, aren't they? Trying to sell you a Venezuelan war. Talking again about military action against North Korea. None of these things are going to turn out any better. You understand that, don't you? Even if it's Trump's war, and you like him better than Obama, or you like his defense secretary, the former Raytheon guy, better than the last guy, or you like Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, better than John Kerry. They're going to sell you this Iran war. And then what, do we have to wait another 20 years to get the headlines? Turns out this Iran thing was fought actually at the behest of Saudi Arabia and Israel, and that it was never really a threat to the United States. And yeah, we're still bogged down. And yeah, I mean, Iran's going to be a big one. I got to tell you, Iran's military is no joke. They're not Iraq. So we'll look back at it and go, yeah, it cost us 20, 25,000 of American troops. And, you know, we're going to hear the same thing. It's going to be another bad war. And that's where my hope springs eternal, that maybe if you hear this stuff about the past wars, maybe we won't make this mistake again.
That's what the people who were leading this effort were saying privately, thinking these words would never come out. Meanwhile, the public faces, oh, we're making progress, we're building, you know, human rights, we're doing all this great work, we're rebuilding, we're training the police, we're making, you know, we're making inroads. And to your point about, we, you know, see these stories about suicide bombs, which you continue to see, this was a sign that the Taliban was desperate, right? That was the spin on it. And what really happens here, it just goes to show, look, start out with this limited mission.
You know, that is such a great, that's a great point she makes right there. How many times have we heard that? Every time that there's a big attack and it kills some of our troops and we're like, oh my gosh, what are we doing over there? They're killing our kids. Somebody from the Pentagon or the State Department comes out and goes, this shows their level of desperation because we've got them on the run. And we've been listening to those kind of lies for 18 years. And more of our kids are dying over there right now, getting injured, coming back with catastrophic injuries. That's just amazing to me. How many times have you heard that, huh? Well, yeah, we lost five guys, but that's a good, it's a good thing. It's a, the way we lost them means that we're really turning the tide here. They're getting desperate. Oh, that is so sick to think that our kids' lives are in the balance of these people that are lying to our face.
You go in, but the minute that the military-industrial complex gets
a lot of money,
one finger hold on a country, on a place, on an engagement like Afghanistan, you will never get out because people are making so much
money
hand over fist in these conflicts. And once that money machine starts, forget about it.
It is a story about money, and it's a story about greed and corruption. And it just goes to show you, I mean, they don't care that over 2,000 U.S. troops died in Afghanistan. 20,000 were wounded. I personally know some of these people who were wounded in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And they will tell you the same thing. For what?
Yeah.
I had an experience in which a friend of mine, he lost a limb in Afghanistan. And he lost a limb in a district. I had met him, and we were talking about the war at that time. And the place where he had lost his arm had been retaken by the Taliban that day. And he was like, for what, man?
For what? And part of what they lay out in this report as reporting is that, you know, we were supposed to be getting a handle on...
What would you think about that? Vast majority of people listening to me have never served in the military. It's a very small percentage. Now, I think we should reinstitute a draft because it might actually stop these wars when people's own kids had to go. It is strange, too, you know. Doesn't seem that these elites... Not a lot of people in Congress walking around with one arm. I guess we got Dan Crenshaw's got one eye. Not a lot of them out there sacrificing for in these battles they're so committed to. But how would you feel about that, living the rest of your life with one arm or one leg or constantly confused with PTSD? And then you watch the headline and says, oh, look at that. The Taliban's actually got that area that I lost my arm for, I lost my leg for. Now, look, in a war is ugly. Sure, these kinds of things happen in, you know, World War II, maybe wars where there's an end to them that can be viewed as positive, although I'm going to do some stories about World War II, too. But in this, you're going to live the rest of your life missing a leg. Change the rest of your life, quality of life for the rest of your life. And I'm telling you, these people at the top, they don't care. John Bolton doesn't care how many one-legged soldiers we got limping around. He doesn't care. His motives are so much higher than to be really considering the grunt on the ground. And this is across the board. I'm going to play the rest of this clip when we come back. It's just a couple of minutes left. Just talking about the sheer absurdity of this. And as Americans, we should be outraged. We're talking about the impeachment stuff. We're talking about the IG report. We're waiting on the dirt. I mean, we're outraged about all the wrong things. I mean, I'm telling you about all the wrong things. This impeachment's going nowhere. You could completely ignore it from this moment until it's over, until the Senate acquits Donald Trump, and you would have missed nothing. You know the Democrats are bad, right? Okay, check. Nothing you're going to watch is going to convince you that the Democrats are good over the next few months. You know the system is corrupt at the top levels, right? Okay, nothing's going to change there. You know what I mean? You could completely tune it out, find out that he was acquitted, and go on with the rest of your life, and it would have just been nothing but you saved yourself a bunch of wasted time. Because there's nothing you're going to do about it. The Iran war, the rest of these wars, our foreign policy, we could actually affect something there If politicians knew we would run them out on a rail if they commit our kids and our dollars to another one of these things, we could actually change this. And I'm begging the right to do it because you could lead the way. We're just outraged at absolutely the wrong stuff right now. I'll come back. I'm going to finish up this clip when we come back. It's important. I'm telling you, this is so much more important than the IG's report yesterday, since the IG's report was nothing but a CYA whitewash cover-up document. All night with
the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment here. We're going to finish up. So the report came out yesterday. A story broke in the Washington Post. Now, I know, it's Washington Post. Can we trust it? This was just a guy who, through Freedom of Information Act, got 2,000 pages of interviews that the inspector general did with people on the ground in charge in Afghanistan. And these people that were in charge of Afghanistan over there were saying, what are we doing? Nothing's working over here. This is going terribly. And that information goes to the Pentagon and to the State Department and to the administrations of George Bush and Barack Obama. And the way it comes out is through spin, where they go, hey, everything's going great. Keep sending your sons and daughters into the military. We've got this under control. Now, just think about that. I mean, just we know there's wartime propaganda. You know, we don't expect anybody to come out even in a bad scenario and go, oh, my gosh, this is going terrible. We're all going to die. But there's a difference between that and justifying an 18-year war by lying about it along the way. And I know what I'm up against. I keep bringing this kind of stuff up. I am so anti-war. I think it's time we rediscover our humanity. I know a lot of people think that America is no longer good because we took God out of the schools, and you may have something to that. I'm not here to argue with you about that, but is it possible that maybe God looks down on this planet and goes, what are they doing? What are they doing? They're halfway around the globe dropping bombs on school children. They're helping the Saudi Arabians fight against the poorest country in the Middle East, creating a humanitarian disaster. Is it any possibility that God's not happy with us for these endless wars? But I know what I'm up against. I always go back to this quote. This is Carl Sagan. I know a lot of people, particularly on the right, have bought into this endless war stuff. You think it's patriotic to support every new war. I see it. I see it in the polls with Republicans. Carl Sagan said, one of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back. Let me tell you, it is not too painful to acknowledge you've been bamboozled. I was bamboozled. It's one of the most freeing things in the world for me to realize when I got my independent thinking back and I didn't let them lie to me about these wars. I mean, who in the world can sit there in your own independent mind without some spinmeister on Fox News or CNN telling you? How do you feel that us being involved in a Syrian civil war and funding radical jihadists there is in any way, shape, or form defending your freedoms here in the United States? I mean, can you possibly make that mental leap? keeping our country safe by being involved in a Syrian civil war. Ditto for every other conflict over there. Ditto for the Iran war that's coming. A couple more minutes of this clip real quick. This is about this this report that's come out showing that both the Bush and the Obama administrations lied to us continuously about the results of the Afghan war.
On the drug trade there, Afghanistan's long been massive cultivator of poppy for
opium.
It's
only gone up, actually.
Only gone up. The corruption of the government, which we've been, you know, propping up, has only gone up. It's a complete klepto state
It's
now.
A klepto state. They have no legitimacy amongst the people. Half the Taliban's case is we can govern the country better than these people, which is exactly how they rose to power in the 1990s. And just over and over again, you see over $1 trillion poured into this boondoggle of epic proportions, and nobody can stop it. Obama was elected to office saying, we're going to win the good war, and eventually we'll pull out. He surged the troops. It didn't work. Pulled it back slightly. Trump comes in and says, we're going to get the hell out of Afghanistan. Ends up putting even more troops. Over and over again, the military basically threatens whoever is the president. They're like, you can't lose. If you do, you know, if you do pull out, every single death is on you. And they just continue to spend trillions and trillions of dollars abroad to the benefit of nobody. The Afghans are not being helped by this.
Right.
The American people are not being helped by this. The only people that are being helped is the military-industrial complex, these defense contractors. They're the number one people that are benefiting. And, oh, by the way, the klepto state of Afghanistan.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And
it goes on a little bit longer. I mean, that's how bad this is. And again, I started this whole thing off by telling you, these are the kinds of things libertarians have been telling you about for years and years and years. Years and years and years. And it is now hopefully so apparent to people that it's just no way you can escape it. It's Carl Sagan talking about the great bamboozle. I mean, can you not accept that you were bamboozled about Middle Eastern wars? Can you not look at this now and go, you know, maybe this wasn't about our freedoms? George Bush saying they hate us because of our freedoms. Really? It's not because we've been bombing them back into the Stone Age for the last 60 years. Has nothing to do with that. We've been overthrowing their governments or giving one country chemical weapons to use against another country. You think maybe that means they don't like us as much as you think it's really because we let our little girls vote? Do you still buy into that platitude, that lie? A lot of people do. You're not alone if you do. It's sad, but you're not alone. This is about as in your face as it gets. It shows that the Pentagon, the State Department, and every administration will lie to you. Not misrepresent, not spin, not be mistaken, not misspeak. They will lie to you about these wars. They are lying to you about the Iranian threat right now. A lot of you are going to believe it. As soon as there's an attack, you'll be ready for that war, too. Don't fall for it. Don't give in to the bamboozle. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.